You know, being in the emergency department, you do see anything and everything, but praise the Lord that He still answers prayer. Amen? Because trust me, I don't know everything. And so it's important to have His wisdom there when we're facing unknown circumstances. Before we get started, let's just have one more word of prayer, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we can be in Your house today. And I pray that as we talk, You'll give us clarity of thought and understanding. Help us to know Your will for our lives, Lord, so that we can serve You better. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic for today is cancer, and it's not an easy topic. It's one of those things that has touched many lives and has caused a lot of people pain, suffering, grief, and heartache. So I want to try and break it down a little bit for you if we can. I call our talk The Cancer Diet, What's Eating You? And I'm going to go through just a little bit of our refreshing here just to make sure we're all on the same page, create a foundation. As I told you before, I was born as a fourth generation Adventist. I trained for medical training at Loma Linda University. I'm an emergency physician. I am an elder in my church. And my wife and I have three kids, but we had some issues with our family that we had to work on. First thing I have to tell you is I was a workaholic. Not necessarily a bad thing. It's better to work hard than to be slothful. But you can overdo it. You can lose your balance. You can lose your perspective. We found our lives were not in order the way God wanted them to be in order. So we had to make some changes in our lives. Once we did that, we all made changes. From the youngest to the oldest, we were all making changes and doing things differently. We found that our family needed more time together. We needed to be more cohesive as a family. It's good to be busy doing things and serving people and serving the Lord, but when it's pulling you in several different directions, that can be a detriment. We cut out a lot of the organized activities we had for our kids and for us, and tried to do our exercise together as a family, and that was such a blessing for us, and I encourage you to do the same if you can. We attended a program very similar to what we're sharing with you this week, and it changed our lives. We want to kind of give you information to make you knowledgeable about these lifestyle diseases and how the Lord has given us information that we can use to combat them. God gave us simple tools to combat the lifestyle diseases of this world. And like I told you before, the simple things of God confound the wise. You know, this world is continually bombarding us with different kinds of information, and the information seems to be always changing, but God's way is constant. We teach from the Bible, inspiration, and good scientific research, and the inspiration and the good scientific research have to agree with what it says in God's Word. God's Word is our owner's manual, if you would. We also believe that God intended for us to be in good health, and that's so that we can serve Him. There is a service component to achieving health. We have precious truths to share with you that when adhered to, they save lives. We believe that God has a plan through which He can accomplish this in all of us, and God's plan is available to everyone because God is an equal opportunity God. Remember that. If there's something out there that is only available to a few or to select people, that can't be God's plan, because God's plan does not exclude anybody. It's all inclusive. So God's plan is available to everyone. And God's plan is not man's plan. Please keep that in mind. God's plan differs from man's plan. I like this quote by Carlisle B. Haynes, "What is truth? Truth is not what I believe. Truth is fact. Because it's fact, if I don't know it, I may not believe it. But it is still there. Nevertheless, waiting to be discovered and believed, truth does not depend on the unsettled and changing opinions of men. It was truth before it was believed. It will remain truth whether it is believed or not. For the glory of God, only one lease on life is granted us, and the inquiry with everyone should be, how can I invest my powers so that they yield the greatest profit? How can I do the most for the glory of God and the benefit of my fellow men? For life is valuable only as it is used for the attainment of these ends. Our first duty towards God and our fellow beings is that of self-development. Every faculty with which the Creator has endowed us should be cultivated to the highest degree of perfection, that we may be able to do the greatest amount of good which we are capable. Hence that time is spent to good account, which is used in the establishment and preservation of physical and mental health. We cannot afford to cripple any function of the body or mind. As surely as we do this, we must suffer the consequences. That's from Councils on Diets and Foods, page 15. Without the life of God, nature would die. His creative works are dependent on Him. He bestows life-giving properties on all that nature produces. The same power that sustains nature is also working in mankind. Acts 17, verse 28 says, "In God we move and have our being." The beating heart, the throbbing pulse, every nerve and muscle in the living organism are, get this carefully, kept in order and activity by the power of an infinite God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Through the agencies of nature, God is working day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to keep us alive, to build up and restore us. And listen to this part very carefully. When any part of the body sustains injury, a healing process is at once begun. Nature's agencies are set at work to restore soundness. But the power working through these agencies is the power of God. When one recovers from disease, no matter how you recover, even if you go to the hospital and see the doctor, it is God who restores them. Remember that. Especially as we talk about cancer, I want to show you how God created our bodies with the ability to heal and repair themselves if, and if is the big point here, if we put them in the right condition. That's the key. So we're going to show you how to get them in the right condition so God can use these healing processes that He has created in all of us to help make us better. That was my life today. I like this definition of disease. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. So if there are health laws that we can violate that lead to disease, we need to know what those laws are to thereby avoid violating them and obtain health. Amen?
Amen?
The laws of health are nutrition. What we put in our bodies helps to put our bodies in the right condition in order for us to be able to obtain health. Exercise. If you want to think of our bodies as a machine, we are the only machine that deteriorates with lack of use. Our bodies were created to do work. Created by a loving, infinite God to do work. Created by a loving, infinite God to do work for Him. Water is next. I told you we're about 65 to 70% water overall in our bodies. Two-thirds of our body is water. Our brains are about 80% water. So if we need to be in our right mind to be able to face the time of the end, to be able to face and have discernment about right and wrong, if we're dehydrated, we can't be in our right mind. We can't think clearly. So we've got to make sure we get adequate water. Sunlight is next. Sunlight enables our bodies to create the only vitamin that our bodies can create, which is vitamin D. And I told you about 15 to 30 minutes of sunlight, if you get it on the back of your hands or on your face, as long as you're not wearing sunscreen, your body can create vitamin D. The place, though, where you make the best vitamin D is on your back. Now you say, wait a minute, why is that? Well, think about what our original work was. We were to work with the soil. When you are gardening, where do you get the sunlight? On your back. So we were created to do work, to care for the garden. And the best place to make vitamin D is on your back. Temperance is next. Temperance is maintaining balance. It's making sure that we stay away from the things that are bad for us and making sure that we do moderation on the things that are good for us. Temperance is maintaining balance. It's keeping a schedule, if you would. Air is next. We need to make sure that we get fresh air. And praise the Lord for the beautiful fresh air that is even moving through this meeting room even as I speak. God has provided us with fresh air. We need to enjoy it and make sure we use it to keep our bodies healthy. Rest is next. Rest is so important. That's when our bodies heal and repair themselves. That's when, if we're going to fight cancer, our bodies have a chance to heal and repair themselves. So we need to make sure that we get adequate rest. 8 hours is optimal. 7 to 8 is good. Anything less or more than that is not as good. So rest is important. And I can't talk about rest without not mentioning that our bodies were created to have a rest every seventh day. The seventh day Sabbath was created by God as a time to reconnect with Him and re-energize. And trust in God is the last one. Last but not least is trust in God. Trust in God is the glue that holds the 8 laws together. The world can look to the first 7, but if they don't include that 8th law, they don't obtain optimal health. So we use the acronym New Start to represent the 8 laws of health. And I recommend to you that you look at all of these and look at your life and your lifestyle and see how they are impacting your life. The use of natural remedies requires an amount of care and effort that many are not willing to give. Natural remedies are not as easy as taking a pill. But taking a pill doesn't get to the root cause of the problem. Natural remedies does. Nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual. And to the impatient, it seems slow. The surrender of hurtful indulgences requires sacrifice. I have to share this with you. I just was at a camp meeting at Weimar. And a speaker got up and said, there are 2 things that are going to be present in every single person who goes to heaven. And those 2 things are not Sabbath keeping, are not being a total vegetarian, are not knowing the 28 or 29 or 30 fundamental beliefs. Those 2 things are this: self-sacrifice and self-control. People who have not been a Seventh-day Adventist who will be in heaven will have displayed self-sacrifice and self-control. So, this quote is pointing to that when it says, the surrender of hurtful indulgences requires sacrifice. Self-sacrifice and self-control are necessary to get to heaven. But in the end, it will be found that nature, untrammeled, does her work wisely and well. Those who persevere in obedience to her laws will reap the reward in health of body and health of mind. So, brothers and sisters, it's laid out before us what we need to do in order to be healthy. All right, let's talk about cancer. What is cancer? Cancer is an uncontrolled proliferation or growth of cells. It produces a malignant tumor. It may entail metastases, which are other tumors of the same type appearing far from the original site. For example, if you had a lung tumor and now it suddenly has metastasized to your leg and you have bone cancer, then that is a form of the original tumor going to a distal site. Its natural progression leads to death. That's the natural progression of cancer. What we're finding out, though, is that cancer is a do-it-yourself disease. Cancers are turning out to be related to the things that we do. Chronic exposure to environmental factors determines our risk of developing cancer. What we eat and drink, where we live and work, and what we breathe. Those three categories tend to be very influential on our risk of cancer. The body uses these tumors as containers to store toxic waste. So it collects all these toxins from throughout your body, and it doesn't know what to do with them, so it puts them in a container that we end up calling a tumor. When natural methods of elimination, like the bowels, the kidneys, the liver, lungs, and skin, are overloaded or overworked, they're clogged, or they are inadequate, the body then manufactures these garbage cans to store these toxins. A physician can cut, burn, do chemotherapy, or radiate the cans and their contents, trying to get rid of them. Soon, though, the body will manufacture more containers, more tumors, if you will, if we haven't got to the core problem that's causing these toxins to build up. The solution, then, is to change your lifestyle. Change your diet and improve ways of eliminating waste. Put your body in the right condition so it's not making these garbage cans. And that's how you get rid of the tumors. Does that make sense? All right. Some definitions. A carcinogen is a food, substance, or other agent that fosters the development of cancer. Most common things that are carcinogens are tobacco smoke, food additives like nitrites, especially in preserved meats and things like that, substances formed during cooking of meat. So you don't want to eat the meat raw, you want to cook it, but as you cook it, it's making bad things for you. Chemical contaminants like pesticides or other chemicals that we may get in our environment, chemicals related to the way they package food, can cause cancer. Viruses and molds can promote cancer, or exposure to radiation can also promote cancer. Mutagens are another form of a cancer-causing agent. These are substances that produce mutations or changes in the genetic code of cells. Mutations cause cells to become cancerous. Mutagens are also carcinogens, and they're formed when foods, especially meats, are fried or roasted. How about some statistics? Cancer is the second leading cause of death. What's number one? Heart disease, that's right. Cancer's number two. What's number three?
Diabetes.
Stroke is number three. One out of every three people will get cancer. That's a lot. Just to give you an idea, there's a bunch of people in this room. You could count off one, two, three. And to give you an idea how many people in this room could get cancer. It doesn't have to be, but could. One out of every six will die from it. That means half the people who get cancer end up dying from it. Three out of every four homes are affected by it. My home has been affected by it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I know a lot of you have experienced cancer in friends and relatives. So what kind of characteristics does cancer display? A sabotage of the DNA. What is the DNA? The DNA is our life chain, if you would. It's what determines how your body functions. Determines how tall we are, what we look like, the color of our hair, the color of our eyes, the color of our skin, you name it. Everything that happens in our body is controlled by the DNA. And when you start messing with it, bad things happen. Leads to deficient control. Invasion of boundaries of other cells. Cancer behaves like this. It gets in your face. It doesn't know personal space. It doesn't know where the boundaries are. It's rude. It leads to uncontrolled growth. Once these cells start to change, they start to grow very quickly and grow out of control. It leads to a subversion, or it has to divert blood vessels to the tumor in order to keep it going, to provide nutrients so that the cancer cells can continue to grow. And you get a loss of the normal complexity of cells. Cells have to have a certain amount of complexity in order for them to function normally. When you get these immature-looking cells and you look at them under a microscope, they look very immature and they don't function normally, and they cause all kinds of problems. So let's go through the steps of how you develop cancer. Okay? The first step is initiation. I'd like everybody to say it with me. Initiation. That's step number one. What happens is the DNA becomes damaged. All right? Something happens and changes the DNA. DNA has four base types, four amino acids that differentiate the different types. Two go together and the other two go together. You have adenine and thymine and guanine and cytosine. Those are the two types of pairs. The A and T go together and the C and G go together. And depending on what the order is of how those base pairs line up, which one's on which side and which one's on the other, determines how the proteins are made and determines how everything works. So God created DNA to be a very simple process, yet it's very complex because look at all of us. We all have different DNA. We all look different. We all behave different. So all of that is controlled by the DNA, but it's a very simple underlying base process that causes it. Once you do damage to that, there's a problem. Free radicals tend to damage the nuclear membrane. So they get into the cell, get into the nucleus, and cause damage to the DNA. Carcinogens or cancer viruses can then get into the DNA and start wreaking havoc. So some sources of free radicals. Smog. Praise the Lord, you don't have a lot of that right here because you don't have all the big cities to produce it. Overeating is a source of free radicals. So think about that. As you go for lunch after this meeting, think about that. Overeating is a problem. A high-fat diet. Excessive exercise. What do I mean by excessive exercise? When you're exercising to the point that you're starting to tear down your body. So what would do that? Maybe running a marathon. Maybe doing a triathlon. Things that tear your body down are forms of free radicals, which can lead to health problems. Trauma, injury, or inflammation, all of those are well documented in the research as sources of free radicals that can lead to problems. Too much ultraviolet light, getting a sunburn, can promote cancer by free radicals. Excessive radiation in general. High blood sugar. Aging. Chronic diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, all of those things can lead to more free radicals in your body that your body has to deal with. All right. So that was step one. What did we say step one was? Initiation. Step number two is promotion. Let's say it together. Promotion. All right. Once you have this damage in the cells, now the cells start to divide. One cell goes into two, two go into four, four go into eight, and it rapidly multiplies as the cells divide, and you get damaged DNA in all of those cells that have divided. So while they're dividing, they start passing on their damaged DNA. Excessive omega-6 fatty acids, which are found in corn and safflower oil, seem to promote rapid cell division. So why is that important? Well, there's a lot of corn oil in our diet. In fact, corn oil in our diet is increasing. How is that so? Are you using a lot more corn oil when you cook? No. How are we getting it? We're getting it in the form of something called HFCS, high fructose corn syrup. So they take corn oil and add fructose, which is not a bad thing. It's the sugar found mainly in fruit. They add that to the corn oil, and now we use that as a sweetener rather than the sweetener that God gave us in the form of sugar. And so this high fructose corn syrup is now in everything. I encourage you to be label readers. Look for HFCS. Look for, sometimes I'll just call it fructose. Look for corn syrups, corn solids, those kind of things. They all are things that promote cell division. And if that's the case, when you're promoting cell division, then you potentially are causing these cancerous cells to develop and to divide more rapidly. Reproductive tissues are also cancer-prone because they tend to divide rapidly when they're stimulated by hormones. So, for example, estrogen stimulates the growth and development of breast cells in women. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Some other promoters of cancer are things like obesity, sugar, refined carbohydrates, and alcohol. Those are all things that promote cancer. So we said step one to cancer was what? Step two was promotion. Step three is progression. If all the other defenses fail, a damaged cell spawns a tumor. The question is whether it will build itself a blood supply and thereby enable it to invade surrounding tissues. And the development of this blood supply may not be something that happens instantaneously. It may take a long time. You see on the screen there it says it may take up to 10 years before a tumor is found. But they secrete these factors that try to attract blood vessels to grow towards the tumor. American Cancer Society says this: science indicates that a third of the cancer deaths are directly related to nutrition. One third. And this was from Newsweek in 1998, so it's a little bit old, but it hasn't changed. It says here, this Dr. Gabriel Friedman, the director of prostate and colorectal cancer for the American Cancer Society, "We don't need years of research. If people would implement what we know today, cancer rates would drop. It's that simple." And it's been 14 years since he said that, and the rates aren't dropping. They're still going up. So we haven't learned anything. Meat and dairy products double the risk of metastatic prostate cancer. Double the risk. Meat by itself increases the risk of metastatic prostate cancer by 66%. That's from Harvard University. Women with breast cancer have 3 times more bovine leukemia virus, which is found in meat and milk, compared to women with normal breasts. That's from the University of California. Bovine leukemia virus is a virus that they've found causes leukemia in cows. And women who get breast cancer seem to have more of this virus in their bodies than women who do not get breast cancer. How do you get the virus? Drink the milk. Eat the dairy products. Councils on Diets and Foods, page 384, 385, says this: "The light given me is that it will not be long before we shall have to give up using animal food. Even milk will have to be discarded. Disease is accumulating rapidly." Is that not true?
Yep.
"The curse of God is upon the earth because man has cursed it. God has allowed man to do what he wants, and because of that, we are suffering the consequences of the curse. The habits and practices of men have brought the earth into such a condition that some other food than animal food must be substituted for the human family. We do not need flesh food at all. God can give us something else. Amen?
Amen.
Compared to 1900, Americans now eat a third more fat and a third less fiber. In areas of the world where fat intake is low and fiber is high, there is much less colon, breast, and prostate cancer. In the United States, Canada, and New Zealand, where diets are low in fiber and high in fat, the rates of these cancers are much higher. So, we are living a life now that promotes cancer. This is a diagram here showing some research they did in Hawaii. They took people who lived in Japan, and they gave them an incidence of 1 in terms of these different types of cancer: breast, colon, prostate, rectum, and lung. And what they found is that when these Japanese people emigrated to Hawaii, their risk of cancer changed. Breast cancer went up 4 times, colon cancer 5 times, prostate cancer 11 times, rectal cancer 3 times, and lung cancer 2 times. It doubled. And what's happening is their risk of cancer is starting to match the Caucasians who already lived in Hawaii. So as these Japanese people who ate a low-fat, high-fiber diet moved to the Western world where life is good, and they started to assimilate the lifestyle of Americans eating the sad diet, standard American diet, their risk of cancer increased. So Western dietary habits leads to an increased risk of cancer. So how can we protect our DNA? We need to have foods rich in antioxidants. Things like garlic, cruciferous vegetables. What are cruciferous vegetables? Things like cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower. And the reason they call them cruciferous is if you take the stem of the plant and cut it in the right angle, you will see it looks like it has a cross in the middle. So that's where the cruciferous comes from. Make sure you have sufficient B12, folic acid, and magnesium. So how can you get these kind of things? Well, let me show you. This is a chart that shows how you can obtain vitamins and minerals through your diet by eating the right types of foods. So, for B12, you need to eat soy products like we talked about. You need to eat yeast like we talked about. And there's also foods that have been fortified with the B12. But also in terms of the magnesium, green leafy vegetables, whole grains, avocados, bananas, apricots, apples, cashews, and almonds. And in terms of the folate, Brazil nuts, whole grains, green leafy vegetables again, and chickpeas and pumpkin seeds. So if you eat a wide variety of fruits and vegetables, you're going to get all the vitamins and minerals you need. All right. Let's talk about some defense mechanisms. I showed you how cancer starts. What's the first step?
Initiation.
So here's a defense mechanism for initiation. The first line defense is the cell has the ability to repair its own DNA. It can do it one of two ways. It can either go through, see that there's a problem, and fix the problem by changing the base pairs back to what they're supposed to be. Or it can take, there are these proteins that scan up and down the length of DNA. And the DNA is coiled up into a cell microscopically so we can't see it. But if you were able to unravel it and extend it end to end, it's about 6 feet long or 2 meters in length. So these proteins are continually scanning up and down that DNA strand looking for problems. If they find a problem, they can either fix it by repairing the base pairs directly, or they can cut out that damaged strand and replace it with a new strand with the correct base pair sequence. Now, to me, that is one of the greatest evidences of intelligent design. We have a loving God who created us with the ability for our cells to heal and repair the DNA if it gets damaged. Amen. Amen. That is just miraculous. But look at this. These proteins scan up and down the cell looking for the damaged DNA. But look at this. This thing called caffeine, the devil's playground, interferes with this DNA repair process. Now, what's increasing in our world today? Caffeine. You know, now we have these energy drinks that have these boluses of caffeine. So think about how much it must mess up these proteins that are there to scan the DNA. The devil wants to keep us ill, folks, because he has us when we're ill. He's got his effect upon us. So we need to make sure that we're not having caffeine to prevent this defense mechanism from working. Antioxidants also stop the free radicals from harming the cell. Lycopene, like what's found in tomatoes, vitamins A, C, and E, selenium, and genistein, which is found in the soy, all help to help the cells overcome the free radicals and avoid the cancer. I showed you the antioxidant-rich fruits yesterday and the antioxidant-rich vegetables, so I'm not going to go through them in detail today for the sake of time. Step number two is promotion. Cruciferous vegetables like broccoli turn our bad estrogen into good estrogen. Soy products also contain isoflavonoids, which act as estrogen, leaving less room for our body's estrogen. I want to spend a little time on this. This is a picture of a cell. It has these little Y receptors on it, which we call estrogen receptors. You see those little Y receptors, okay? The body's estrogen has a shape almost like a T with something that fits into the cup of that estrogen receptor. So here you see it, the T fits into that cup of the estrogen receptor. So if this were a breast cell and it were responding to estrogen, as estrogen comes into these receptors, it's going to stimulate the cell to grow and produce. Everybody with me so far? Okay. The green is the plant estrogen, which you notice will bind to the estrogen receptor. Okay? Has an estrogen-like effect because it binds to the receptor, but it doesn't get down into the cup. Thereby, it doesn't stimulate that receptor to promote the cells to grow. But once it's bound to the receptor, the body's estrogen cannot bind to that receptor as well. Does that make sense? Therefore, the estrogen like effect of soy can actually be a benefit to us. Because if it binds to the estrogen receptor, let's say you had a breast tumor that was estrogen responsive and you had soy bound to it, it's not going to stimulate the estrogen receptor, but your body's natural estrogen cannot stimulate that receptor once it's bound with plant estrogen. Does that make sense? So soy in and of itself is not necessarily a bad thing. You can overdo it, absolutely. But the soy actually plays a protective role in this instance. Omega-3 fatty acids. Where do we get our omega-3s? Thank you. Please, nobody say fish oil. Okay? Flaxseed is our best source of omega-3s. You can also get them from chia seeds and other things, but why not fish oils? Well, let me ask you this. Where does fish oil come from? From fish, thank you. Somebody said fish. Thank you very much. Where does it come from in the fish? You know, I remember as a kid, my mom gave me cod liver oil. She only did that once because I didn't like it so much. Cod liver oil, the fish oil comes from the liver of the fish. What is the purpose of your liver? Filter, detoxify. So, if you were to come into toxins, a place where they could be concentrated could be your liver. Now, we keep hearing reports about how the fish are getting worse and worse and the waters are polluted with mercury and everything else and blah, 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 and you shouldn't eat fish and you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. And then they said, well, you should eat the ones that are farmed, farm-grown fish. But then now they're saying, no, those are even worse because stuff gets more concentrated because they don't clean the tanks out well and they're all crowded together. Stay away from the fish, okay? But the place where toxins are going to be concentrated in a fish is in the liver, which is where they're going to make the oil from. God provided an alternative in the form of flax seeds. Flax seeds, the omega-3s from flax seeds, inhibit the promotion of prostaglandin E2. Prostaglandin E2 is something that the tumor secretes in order to try and suppress our immune systems, the natural defense that God gave us to fight off viruses, bacteria, and cancer, suppress the immune system, thereby allowing the tumor to grow better. So, the omega-3s found in flax and chia seeds help to boost our immunity to help fight off some of these tumors that we are facing. How about the flax oil? Is that okay to use? Here's the thing with flax oil, okay? Any seed or nut, when you start to break it open, the goodness of the seed is inside. When it gets exposed to the air, it starts to oxidize. So I don't recommend using flax oil or ground flax that you buy in the store, because you don't know how long it's been sitting there exposed to the air and oxidizing. I recommend that if you want to use flaxseed, you get a grinder and grind it yourself and use it immediately. Okay? That's the best way to get your flaxseed. All right? If you have a question, I'm going to ask you to come to the mic, okay? If not, save it till the end and I'll address it, okay? All right. So some other sources of isoflavonoids, like what's found in soy, are black beans, yellow split peas, and red clover tea. Those are some other places you can get some antioxidants to help combat cancer. Step one was initiation. Step two was promotion. Step three is progression. Genistein, which is found in the soybean, suppresses the tumor's growth factors. So here you see a picture of a tumor, and it's suppressing these growth factors to try and attract blood vessels. Well, the genistein, which is found in the soybean, acts like these COX-2 inhibitors and prevents the blood vessels from attaching to the tumor. COX-2 inhibitors are also things like resveratrol, which is found in red grapes, and curcumin, which is found in turmeric. The world tells you that you should drink some red wine because it's good for your heart and it's good for cancer. Well, the thing that's good about it is the resveratrol, which is found where? In the skin of the grape. So why go through all the process when they start making the wine and doing all this stuff and who knows how long it's sat there? Why not eat the fresh red grape and get the benefit yourself without all the side effects? Amen?
Amen.
The same with the curcumin, which is found in turmeric. This morning in the cafeteria, they had a little bit of scrambled tofu, and it has a pretty yellow color. Where does that come from? They put turmeric in there. Have a little bit of scrambled tofu, and you get your turmeric, and you get your soy, and praise the Lord, it's a double whammy against cancer. Amen?
Amen.
All right. These suppress the tumor's growth factors and prevent it from obtaining a blood supply. Other COX-2 inhibitors include ginger, rosemary, silymarin from milk thistle, vitamin C, and vitamin E. So those are good things you can do to help defend against cancer. Our liver plays a role in cancer suppression. What happens is the liver finds these carcinogens, and I apologize, they don't project so well because they're red, but these carcinogens here, these phase 1 enzymes break these procarcinogens up. So you have a procarcinogen, the phase 1 breaks it up But when it breaks it up, it may actually be more carcinogenic. It may be more harmful for you. So you have to go to the next phase very quickly, because the byproducts of phase one can be more toxic. And then the phase two enzymes come along, and what they do is these enzymes then break up these carcinogens into non-toxic materials that your body can then get rid of. So it's very important that the phase two enzymes do not lag behind the phase one enzymes. So how do we do that? Well, here's what we do. Cruciferous vegetables, again, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, all of those things are rich in sulforaphane, which boosts the production of phase two enzymes. So make sure you get your cruciferous vegetables. Some fruits also help to boost those phase two enzymes. Citrus, strawberries, raspberries, and raw apples tend to help with that as well. Vitamin C prevents the formation of carcinogens from nitrates in the colon, so it's important to get your vitamin C. Of those three pictures up there, all of these fruits have vitamin C. Which one has the most vitamin C? Hearing lots of answers. Let me share it with you and with the listening public. We have oranges, kiwi, and red bell peppers. The red bell peppers actually have the highest vitamin C there. All right. The role of fiber. Fiber increases the elimination of carcinogens from the body and decreases their absorption from the gut. Now, what did I tell you about fiber yesterday? Fiber also binds cholesterol in the gut, right? So fiber is a good thing. It helps with cholesterol. It helps with cancer. It helps to get stuff out. Make sure you're getting adequate natural fiber from fruits and vegetables. Fiber also encourages the growth of friendly bacteria. It's very important that the bacteria in our gut are promoting health. I read a book called The Enzyme Factor by a Japanese surgeon who believes that if we don't have appropriate fiber in our guts, our bacteria will not get to be healthy. And he believes there are some bacteria that could go either healthy or unhealthy. And if we're not putting our guts and our lifestyle in the right condition, then they tend to go unhealthy. Here's what the authorities are saying. A greater number of studies have shown that a diet rich in fruits and vegetables has a protective effect against cancer. That's from the American Cancer Institute. All right? Here's another authority. If meat eating were ever healthful, it is not safe now. Cancers and tumors and pulmonary diseases are largely caused by meat eating. That's from Testimonies, Volume 9, page 159. More than 100,000 new cases of cancer each year in the United States can be attributed to excess body fat. The American Institute for Cancer Research estimates that 49% of endometrial cancers, 35% of esophageal cancers, 28% of pancreatic cancers, 24% of kidney cancers, 21% of gallbladder cancers, 17% of breast cancers, and 9% of colorectal cancers are attributed to being overweight, having excess body fat. Another report states that only half of Americans know that being overweight is a risk factor for many types of cancer. How about coffee? Does that play a role? Coffee is attributed to various types of cancer, including bladder cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, and colon cancer. So coffee does play a role. A prostate cancer study showed that diets high in saturated fat, red meats, and dairy products contribute to prostate cancer. When I was in medical school, one of our anatomy professors said, if every man lives long enough, they're going to face prostate cancer. And it seems to be getting that way these days. Just about everybody's coming down with it. Here are some foods high in fat. Meat, cheese, eggs, milk. They have a high fat content, which puts our bodies in the wrong condition to fight cancer. This French study had almost 3,000 participants showing that individuals consuming cheese, any kind of cheese, had a 20% increased risk of breast cancer compared to those who didn't eat cheese. And daily consumers had a 50% increase in risk compared to never users. Cheese. Like we said, cheese contains oxidized cholesterol. It is also high in mutagens, things that can affect the genetic code. It also has aflatoxins, which can promote ill health. Deficiencies in essential fatty acids also lead to cancer. Essential fatty acids can be obtained from nuts, seeds, whole grains, legumes, olives, and avocados. And here are some serving suggestions. 2 tablespoons of nuts, or 1/8 cup, and I told you to eat those at the end of your meal. 1/2 cup of cooked dried legumes or beans, 6 to 8 olives, and 1/4 of a medium avocado. All of those are good for preventing cancer. Some studies that were done on mice revealed that stressful situations such as poor housing conditions, overcrowding, and social tensions between mice. To me, it sounds like a mice ghetto, you know, living in an inner city. You have a little bit of poor housing, overcrowding, and social tensions. That seemed to make the mice respond less favorably to cancer treatment. Childhood leukemia is also linked to electric and magnetic fields near residential areas. So those big transformers that you see, or those fenced-in areas where they have all of these electrical wires coming together with transformers and power grids and different things, all of those create significant electric and magnetic fields. And these seem to lead to childhood leukemia and other diseases. How about mold? Does mold contribute to cancer? Absolutely. Aflatoxins found in moldy peanuts or other nuts, moldy corn, moldy cheese rind. What happens when you get mold on the rind of a cheese? What do? Cut it off and sell the rest. Absolutely. That's the way it works. Moldy apples in any form. Those are the kind of apples they use to make apple cider vinegar. Or any fruit that's affected by soft rot. All of these things can promote cancer through aflatoxins. Cancer viruses. Has anybody ever heard of a cancer virus? A few of you had. Where we used to live, we had a hematologist and oncologist who used to have a bumper sticker on the back of his vehicle. It said, "Cancer, catch the virus, ask me how." He's a guy who deals with cancer all the time, and here he has these things saying cancer viruses. Well, what they have found is that healthy chickens or turkeys and their eggs for human consumption are commonly infected with viruses which cause cancer in those animals. And we know that for a fact because we've seen that. I've been to slaughterhouses and seen that. And when they see cancer on a chicken, for example, that they've just slaughtered, you know, there's a vet at every slaughterhouse, a vet assigned by the Food and Drug Administration. And what he does is he visually inspects the meat. And if he sees something that looks bad, he doesn't approve the meat. But what do they do with the chickens that have a little bit of cancer in one portion? They cut them up and sell them as parts. You notice you don't buy as many whole chickens these days? You buy parts because people like parts, and it's easier for the manufacturers to sell them, because if there's a problem with a little piece, you cut it off and sell the rest. Some of these viruses can infect and transform human cells in vitro, and human blood shows evidence of infection with these viruses. This is from Tulane University. So what they have found is that these viruses that cause cancer in the birds are now showing up in human beings. And as they start to show up in the human blood, they believe that some of this promotes the cancer that we see in humans today. A study in Australia found an association between a host of different animal products and colon cancer in women. Implicated foods included red meat, liver, and seafood and dairy. However, the worst group was eggs. Eggs. With the consumers, the heaviest consumers, experiencing 6 times the risk of colon cancer. Now this is obesity and breast cancer. On the left side is the premenopausal, on the right side is the postmenopausal. That means women who have stopped having periods. Premenopausal, postmenopausal. They gave women with a normal weight a risk stratification of 1. Those who were considered obese, more than 20% above their ideal body weight, had a risk stratification of 3, premenopausal. When you go to the postmenopausal side, normal weight had a risk stratification of 1. Those who were considered obese had a risk stratification of 12, meaning that it increased your risk of having breast cancer 12 times if you're more than 20% above your ideal body weight. How about exercise? A recent study found that women who exercised an average of 4 hours per week, they reduced their risk of breast cancer by nearly 60% compared to non-exercisers. So that's a little more than a half an hour a day. How does exercise reduce cancer risk? Well, it stimulates your white blood cells to release something called interleukin-1, which is a natural chemotherapy agent. Interleukin-1 then stimulates the release of interleukin-2, which also aids the immune system. This then doubles plasma interferon levels, which also work as a chemotherapy agent, and that increases the activity of natural killer cells. Natural killer cells are like the sentries of our immune system. If they find a problem, their job is to go out and take care of it. Their job is to kill the viruses or bacteria or whatever is causing us problems, kill the cancer cells. So natural killer cells are affected, they are boosted by moderate sunshine, a total vegetarian diet, and I like to use the term total vegetarian diet rather than the term vegan, because people have certain connotations when they hear the term vegan. And vegans don't necessarily maintain all of the principles that we're trying to, all the lifestyle effects that we're trying to promote. Some vegans have they really kind of elevate the animals, and their main thing about not wanting to do things is because of the animals. And I'm not saying that we should be cruel to animals, but what I am saying is that I believe we have different principles for which we should live the lifestyle that we do. So when I say total vegetarian, everybody understands what I'm saying, that I'm staying away from any animal products. Selenium-rich foods also boost natural killer cells. Getting sufficient omega-3 also boosts your natural killer cells. And getting deep sleep is also important. That's our son sleeping with our little dog there. So, in terms of natural killer cells, milk is immunosuppressive to natural killer cell function. Tripling your milk protein intake triples your cancer risk because the cows are fed a high-protein diet and they're also fed hormones. 3 servings of milk a day increases insulin-like growth factor, and an elevated level of insulin-like growth factor is related to cancer of the breast, lung, and prostate. So here's the take-home message. 4 lifestyle factors: no smoking, no drinking, a vegetarian diet high in fiber and low in fat, and a normal weight. Those 4 things reduce close to 80% of the cancers found in Western society today. If you just come up here, and we'll get to you in a second. If there were a pill that would make people immune to cancer, people would flock to the doctors for a prescription. The inventors would be wealthy beyond belief, but no such pill exists. Amen. There are a number of things, though, that we can do. Eat a diet low in fat and cholesterol. Increase our fiber intake. Lifestyle change is not as simple as taking a pill. It involves learning new habits and skills. Good eating begins with good recipes, and a good cookbook is an investment that will pay for itself many times over. They have some good cookbooks in the ABC for you. All right. Questions?
Yes. My mom went to Wildwood, and they recommend that you toast the flaxseed before you grind it. Is that necessary to release all the health benefits?
I don't know that it's necessary toasting flaxseed. Because anytime you toast a nut or a seed, you do change it a little bit. We personally, you can toast it and that's fine, but we personally use them raw and grind them. If you have coffee grinders in your house, they're a great grinder for flaxseed because the blade is very close to the bottom of the container and the flaxseeds are so small that you want to be able to grind them up well. So we grind them and we use them right away, sprinkle them on our food.
Okay, so there's
I don't
no
know
real,
that you have to.
Because I'd rather not, just because it's an extra step.
I understand. So, very good.
I have a question.
Yes.
I was reading that people with darker pigment, such as myself, need more sun. Does that still relate to the 1530? And do we store vitamin D, and for how long, and are there foods that deplete our vitamin D?
Okay. That's true. People with darker pigmented skin tend to be able to tolerate the sun longer, and so they don't get as much vitamin D in as short a period of time. So a little bit longer is better. I was at Yuchi Pines, and we had some friends down there who have darker pigmented skin, and they actually built a solarium. They built walls up. And they go out there and they are almost naked out there in the sun, trying to get more sun on their body. And it seems to work for them. They have good levels of vitamin D. In terms of your body does store vitamin D, I don't know how long because everybody is different. And I don't know specifically of foods that necessarily will deplete your vitamin D off the top of my head. So, okay. Do you want to come up and ask your question? Come. Go ahead.
Okay. I come from a community that drinks a lot of milk. And traditionally, there were no... I mean, in the past, we didn't have any cancer and all these problems that are associated with milk now. Now, if we drank organic milk today, because I believe their milk was organic... So
sure.
If we drank organic milk today, what is your advice? Would we still be able to stay safe?
I agree with you that organic milk is better than non-organic milk. But here's what I think. I believe that milk and meat and all of those things have changed. Okay. The problem is, where are the cows going to come from now? You know, the cows that we see today are infected. They have mad cow disease. They have bovine leukemia virus. You can make them organic, but I don't think you're going to get rid of the problems that are in there now and in their offspring. It gets passed on from one to the next. So I don't recommend using milk. Milk has a lot of viruses in it. It has a lot of protein particles, protons that are portions of viruses and things. And I just don't think it's healthy or safe. And we have counsel from Inspiration that says it's not safe. And now they're starting to bring out research that says it's not recommended. They won't give milk to infants under 1 year of age because it's just not good. And when we talk about allergies and diabetes, we're going to give you some more information on milk. So I don't recommend using milk. Okay? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I understand that English walnuts have omega-3. Is that correct?
I believe so. We can check. Where's my handy-dandy assistant? Where'd she go? She's in the back talking. I will look afterwards and see if they do.
Yeah.
I think they do, but I can't tell you that off the top of my head. Yeah.
So you do get vitamin D through the glass in the solarium, for example? Because I use my car.
Okay, their solarium does not have glass. What they've done is they've built up privacy walls, just walls up here. There's nothing on the top so the sun can shine in above, and then that way they can maintain modesty as they take off most of their clothes.
You had mentioned the DNA, that they can tell if the genes are getting mutated, that would tell if you're getting cancer. Is there a way that you can go to the doctor and get checked to see if you already have cancer starting?
You can look at people's DNA, but it's hard to get... What they do now is they're trying to do some tests to look for certain genetic predispositions, okay? But there's not a good test out there to just say, okay, you can go and look for this. You can look at things like C-reactive protein, which is a blood test, which is a marker of inflammation in your body. If you have a high level of inflammation in your body, then that is a sign that you could be prone to cancer. Okay?
What is that called again?
C-reactive protein, or CRP, as some people call it. That is a marker of inflammation in your body, and that's something that can make you more prone to cancer, but it's not a guarantee that you're going to get cancer because you have that. Mm-hmm. Okay? Yeah. Here's what I would suggest to you. Rather than looking for a test to tell you if you have cancer or not, because all that does is it increases your fear and worry.
Mm-hmm.
Stress. How does the devil want to keep us?
Mm-hmm.
He wants to keep us stressed and worried and not thinking about what we need to be thinking about. What I would suggest to you, rather than looking for a way to test to see if you have it, is look for a way to put your life in the order so that you don't have to worry about it.
Amen.
And then leave it in the Lord's hands. Because we can create all kinds of, some people are just more worrisome than others. Some people like to kind of have something to be concerned about. And my mother was like that, and she died of cancer. I honestly believe stress contributes to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So the more that you can let go of some of this stuff, get the information and use it to make lifestyle changes, I think the better off you are, more than worrying about how do I go and figure this out. Because there's all kinds of tests out there now. You can do all kinds of different things. You can go and get a body scan, a CT scan of your whole body. But when you do that, the radiation from the CT scan may in itself cause problems. So why go through all that? Why not just trust the Lord and do the right things?
I don't know if you've covered this because I missed the first 2 days, but did you cover carrageenan at all?
I have not really talked a lot about carrageenan.
Okay.
Carrageenan is a seaweed that they use to make things smooth, non-dairy products smooth, like margarine, ice cream, yogurt, different things.
Soy milk.
And what we've found is that we know people who specifically react to the carrageenan, and it causes them to have stomach aches, it causes them to have problems. Carrageenan from a seaweed in and of itself doesn't sound like it's a bad thing, but what they do in the processing, I'm not sure. And so I kind of recommend that if people have problems with those things, I recommend they stay away from the carrageenan.
Just two comments.
Sure.
I work for a chicken processing plant. I have worked in the slaughterhouse and cut bloody tumors from chickens and then packaged the rest of the bird for school lunches.
Thank you. I have a witness. Praise
Number two, in our little town on the east side of West Virginia, just last week we had a gentleman that was documented as having died from mad cow disease. But I doubt if you will read it in the paper.
Thank you for sharing, sister. I appreciate you confirming what we're talking about. Here's something that I never understood. I went to collect blood from slaughterhouses when I was a resident because we were using it for research. And I could not understand how these people could be sitting there killing the animals and 20 minutes later they're eating meat. They're eating lunch. It blew me away. I was like, wow. And I still ate meat at that time. But I couldn't do it. I don't know how they do it. So,
I've got two questions. One, I buy cashews. I'll buy the bits and pieces. And I know that flaxseed, once you break it open, it turns rancid. Are nuts the same way if they're broke up?
The problem is we don't grow the nuts ourselves. Okay? It would be ideal if we could grow the nuts themselves. But cashews, have you ever seen a cashew fruit? It has a fruit and the nut sits on the end. And to get into it, for every fruit, you only get one nut. So it is a laborious process. And here's what I say to you. The nuts probably do start to deteriorate as they're exposed to the air. Okay? The other thing is some nuts are more prone to mold, as we talked about, than others.
Peanuts.
So I recommend maybe keeping some of your nuts in the refrigerator or freezer, which will help to preserve them a little bit. But they probably start to deteriorate as soon as they're opened up. But we're making the best of what we got and doing the best we can with what we got. And then, again, I point you back to we ask God to bless what we're doing.
Yeah, I know. The second thing, I don't drink milk, but you said that skim milk is worse than whole milk?
You caught that. I don't know the explanation for that, but in terms of the protein, now here's what I would say. In terms of the protein that's found in the milk, whole milk is less promoting of elevated cholesterol than skim milk. And I don't know the exact specifics of that, but here's the thing. Think about skim milk. They have started processing it. Once you process anything, you start to deteriorate it. You start to change it. I remember my mom used to drink skim milk that she made from powder. Now, if you make anything into a powder, it's going to, especially if it has animal products in it, you're going to oxidize the cholesterol. So that makes sense to me if you're drinking skim milk from a milk powder. Okay? It's, you know, in this world, a lot of things that they tell us to do are not really good for us. For example, people go and drink diet soda because it makes them feel less guilty than drinking the sugar. All the chemicals in the diet soda is not good. The aspartame, you know, soda factories typically are in warm areas. You know, Atlanta, other areas. You can look on the cans sometimes. There's a bottling factory in West Virginia somewhere too. I don't know where it is. But anyhow, when those sodas sit out in the heat, the aspartame changes its consistency.
Yes, sir.
And they say it gets to be like wood alcohol. And that wood alcohol promotes blindness. That's a known fact.
Yep. Wow.
So, we wonder why so many people are suffering because they're drinking diet soda because it makes them feel less guilty about drinking the soda. If you're going to drink a soda, at least drink the one that has the sugar in it. But please don't drink soda. That's the message I'm giving you. But don't make the mistake of choosing a diet soda because it makes you feel better.
Well, see, I know about from the CHIP program, I know about coffee. If you're going to drink coffee, it's better to drink coffee than the coffee that they've taken the chemicals to get the caffeine out.
Right.
The chemicals are worse than the coffee.
Right. The bottom line is, folks, try to do things closer to how God made them, how He created them. The more natural stuff we have in our lifestyle and diet, the better off it is for our bodies and for our health. As we start to get into things that man has messed with, anytime man messes with something, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. So the more we can live our lifestyle the way God intended for us to do it, eat the way God intended for us to do it, the better off it is for our bodies.
Amen.
The more we put our bodies in the right condition, the way God intended for us to do, the better our health will be, the less disease we'll have, the better off we will be, the better we will be able to connect with heaven. All of these chemicals and different things affect our minds and make it harder for us to be able to connect with heaven. Yes, sister.
I've got to throw something in there.
Sure.
I am in a TOPS group, and that's taking off pounds sensibly.
Good.
And what I have learned is when they take things out of products to make it better for a dieter, they add things in there that is worse for you than they started with.
Amen.
And that's all I have to say.
No, but thank you for sharing that. That's absolutely right. When man starts to when man starts to alter products, it changes the consistency and they're never better. Never. God packages things in certain ways. If we would pay attention to the simple things, the little detail things, I think our lives would be a lot easier. Instead, we say, oh, this is okay, it doesn't matter, it's just a little thing. But our God doesn't ignore little things. He pays attention to the details, and He's the God of order and discipline. And so the more that we can pay attention to Him and what He wants us to see and pay attention to, the better off we'll be.
Amen?
Amen? All right. Our time is just about up, so we're going to end here. I'm just going to end with a word of prayer, if we can. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that we've had this time together. Lord, I thank You that You've created us in such a manner that our bodies can fight off disease and cancer. Lord, we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made. We thank you for making us in your image. I pray now that you'll watch over us through the rest of this afternoon. Bless our lunch that we're about to have, Lord. May it nourish our bodies and make good blood for us so that we can serve you, brother. This is our prayer.